Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Hey, what's going on, family? It's always a joy and a privilege to be able to dive into the Word of God together. For those of you watching this, thank you for joining us on the virtual path, as I like to call it. If you're watching on Facebook, feel free to comment. Feel free to interact with us and let us know where you're watching from. But even in this moment, I need you to humor me real quick. I need you to tell me this. Who would you consider to be the greatest entertainer or athlete of all time? Who would you say? Go ahead, put it in the comments. I mean, I would venture to say Whitney Houston, Aretha Franklin, Beyonce. And if we're talking sports, I gotta go with MJ, Kobe, LeBron, even Serena and Simone Biles. Those are the people that come to mind. I mean, we see performers like Beyonce and Michael Jackson. We see athletes like Serena, LeBron, and Simone Biles, and we are enamored because they're just so good. We're drawn to their abilities and their crazy capabilities because they are uncommon. I mean, think about it. All of the people that I just named were crowned as uncommon from their youth. We've all known of their prowess and remarkable capabilities since they were young because uncommon stands out. Even though this last week has been so interesting to see how and why people are drawn to the Olympics. Games happening on the other side of the world get our attention because presumably it's where a high concentration of uncommon people seeking to accomplish uncommon tasks, come together to see who is the most uncommon. But the thing about uncommon is we often see it and we admire it, but when it comes to implementing the things that these people do and adopting the same mindset, we become spectators. We hear about the multiple hours of practice and rehearsal, the late nights and early mornings. We hear and see the dedication and devotion. And we go from wanting to emulate the uncommon traits to settling for just watching other people be remarkable. But today we're going to look at a story. And in this story, we're going to see a man who took an opportunity to do something uncommon for uncommon results. And this story is found in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. But before we dive into it, let's go to God in prayer. God in heaven, we thank you for constantly being the God that sees us, the God that loves us, the God that hears us. Father, I pray as I preach your word today, as I attempt to unearth truths from your scripture, that you allow me to say what you want me to say and don't say anything you don't want me to say. But God, ultimately in it all, I pray that you will be glorified. We love you. We pray this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 19. And I'm going to be reading from the NRSV version. And we're going to start in verse 1. It says this. He, Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Verse 6, so he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And all who saw it began to grumble and said, he has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Because they got no sins. But then Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I'll pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. I love how Jesus ends it. He says, the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. I love this passage, and after Angel's message about home is where the heart is, I felt it was only appropriate to come to a passage where a man had to do his own heart check and did something uncommon and got uncommon results. You know, if you've been listening closely, you could probably figure out what the title of my message is today. It's one word, and I keep saying it. Say it with me. Uncommon. Feel free to say it one more time. Type it in the chat. Put it right there. Put some emojis behind it. It's just this one word. Uncommon. Uncommon is a word that's been coming up in a lot of my conversations lately. Whether it be discussions about business, life, sports, finances, it just keeps coming back. And I've even had some conversations with younger brothers in the faith because we've constantly talked about being set apart and being uncommon. So as I was away last week, I was drawn to this word once again in my time with God. Because I believe that we are constantly inundated with so much that we can easily drift into the crowd. And even as Christians, we can choose the path of least resistance. We can decide to do things that make us look all too common while putting on the jersey of Jesus. But see, that's not what we see in our boy Zacchaeus. And that's why I love this story. Now, did any of you grow up like me? And when I say grow up like me, I mean, were any of you vacation Bible school all-stars? Like during the summer when you had to go away to vacation Bible school and you got those fun stories throughout the Bible and you got taught all of these cute stories like the story of Zacchaeus. I mean, I remember the snacks. For me, it was really about the snacks. It was those buttercream cookies and the red drink in the styrofoam cup. And yes, it was red drink. It wasn't juice. I don't know where it came from, but it was what I remember. Anyway, VBS taught us the story like this. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Some of y'all know it. If you ain't had vacation Bible school, I feel bad for you. We'll have to run that back. But at any rate, here we are in the gospel narrative, and Dr. Luke tells us that Jesus was making his way through Jericho. Jericho, one of the oldest cities in the world, and I want to take a moment for us to really consider all the information we've been given. We have an opportunity to really ask questions of the text. Luke gives us the setting. He says Jesus is moving and we know that there's a crowd, but then we find out that there's this little short wayward gentleman named Zacchaeus. Everybody knew him. Everybody hated him. But why? Because he was a chief tax collector. Zacchaeus belonged in the top 2 and 3% of the entire Roman Empire. He was in the upper echelon of society. He was elite. And the way that tax collectors worked in the ancient Near East is that they would lease portions of the Roman world. They would lease provinces and pay the taxes to Rome for the right to collect. And then these tax collectors that were Jews would go and extort funds from their fellow Jewish people because they've already paid the tax. And so they would add more and more on top of it. And that is how they became rich. But see, Zacchaeus was no normal hated tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. So he was taxing other tax collectors. My man had H&R Block franchises, and this dude was a businessman. And the scripture tells us he had bank. And so why is this little rich man climbing a tree? Because he heard Jesus was on the way, and he felt like he needed to see for himself this man who had been doing remarkable things throughout the countryside. Undoubtedly, as he collected and extorted his fellow Jews, he heard stories about this Jesus that was turning things upside down. He heard about Jesus who was giving sight to the blind and healing people and probably going to impact his business. And so he decided, I need to see this guy for myself. Now, it's possible that he was trying to figure out who Jesus was to be nosy, but the scriptures don't tell us. Either way, it tells us that Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed a tree. No matter the motive, Zacchaeus knew he had to do something that we would do well to embrace. He had to have an uncommon approach. And that's my first point today, uncommon approach. While Jesus was on the way, Zacchaeus knew that he wouldn't stand a chance getting to see Jesus if he didn't run ahead. I mean, in the ancient world, anthropology tells us that Jewish males averaged about 5 feet 5 inches. That's not that tall to us. And so if the Bible goes out of his way to call him short, my man was short. He might have been 5 feet tall for all we know. But he was so bent on seeing this man named Jesus that he threw all convention out the window and said, I'm climbing this tree. To put it in perspective, when was the last time you saw Jeff Bezos and Warren Buffett climbing trees? When was the last time any of us who were over 30 actually decided to go outside and climb a tree? Even now, if you saw a grown man climbing a tree, you might be like, what's going on with this guy? Something is a little off. But Zacchaeus didn't care. And the truth of the matter is, you shouldn't either. Too often when it comes to growing in our relationship with Jesus, we're just a little too cool. We want to see Jesus, but we don't want the crowd around us seeing us go out of our way to see Jesus. I mean, in our world today, it's kind of cool. It's easy to say Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We can put Jesus anywhere, but you know what's uncomfortable? Being like Jesus. Not the Jesus we have in our heads, not the Jesus we've put together, the nice curly-headed Jesus that lets children come sit on the reading rug while he's panning a lamb. Not that Jesus, but the Jesus that stood out everywhere he went. The Jesus that said the stuff that turned people away. The Jesus that said, if you don't check your heart and deny yourself daily, you cannot be my disciple. You see, we don't like an uncommon approach that's going to make us give up the things that we know in our hearts we need to give up. So we rationalize. We let it be our pet. We love it and we lock it away until we want it again. We like the Jesus that's on our time. And just like in the scriptures, we want to negotiate with Jesus on the terms. Jesus, I know you want me to love and forgive this brother and sister, but I think I'll keep that bitterness in my heart. Jesus, I know you want me to lovingly walk with people as they grow, but it's easier for me to just tell them what to do. Jesus, I know you don't want me to have sex until I'm married, but I got needs, Jesus. You don't understand. I got needs. Let me tell you something. Jesus gets it. If you don't believe me, check Hebrews 4:15. You think Jesus didn't have needs? You think Jesus didn't have urges? You think Jesus didn't have to battle internally? I mean, he was fully man and fully divine. But since you're tuned out, I ain't talking to you. Let me make it real and practical. When me and my wife, Taylor, started dating 10 years ago, I had to come from a place where all the relationships I had previously included sex, manipulation, and a form of godliness while denying the power of God. In those previous relationships, I even went to church because I'm sure God was okay with what I was doing as long as I planned to marry that person. So when me and Taylor got together, I realized I needed an uncommon approach if I was truly going to make it to the altar. So for us, that meant we weren't kissing. And some of you might say, what's wrong with a kiss? I'll tell you. I know me. I wasn't stopping at a peck. And so my first kiss with Taylor was on our wedding day when she became my wife. But that was an uncommon approach. And to this day, I tell guys young and old about it. And they're like, bro, I couldn't do that. But the only reason you don't think you can do it is because you haven't decided to climb up on a tree and go out on a limb for Jesus. And I don't want to leave out the saints because I know many of you may have stories similar to me and Taylor's. And so let me make it plain for you. When was the last time you took an uncommon approach to loving your neighbor? When was the last time you went out of your way to model Jesus to people that you don't like? When was the last time you decided to do something for your neighbor that was uncommon without an ulterior motive? Your neighbor could be a coworker that you don't like. It could be that difficult person in your small group. It could be that challenging person in your ministry. When was the last time? Because right now, that is what the world needs. It needs uncommon people so transformed by an uncommon Savior that they look at those who call themselves disciples and say, wow, that is different. And so how can I get that light? How can I get what they got? Well, as we move through the passage in verse 5, Jesus looks up and sees Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus ran ahead and ran up to get a glimpse of Jesus, but Jesus was looking up to get a glimpse at Zacchaeus. Isn't it interesting that so many times we tell people, seek God, go after Jesus, follow Jesus. But what if we started reminding people that Jesus is looking for us? It's right here in the text. Jesus' last words in this passage summed his mission. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what is lost. See, I know why I'm here. My mission is crystal clear. I'm on a retrieval mission to go after what's mine. That's what Jesus was saying. And it's a beautiful thing when you embrace that Jesus is going after what's his. So much of our theology can get tied up in rules, regulations, doing this, doing that. But what if we led with the lengths that Jesus goes to get us? Very recently, I had this conversation with a brother who had been having a challenging time spiritually throughout the pandemic. And just like so many of us, over time, he started diving deeper and deeper into sin. So much so that he gave up and walked straight into the pits of hell, doing things that he'd never thought he would do, things that haunt him to this very day. Yet, when we talked, he said the thing that pulled him back, that showed him that God wanted his heart, was when God used a movie to speak to him. In that movie, there was a scene where the father said to the wayward son, I'm your father. I've always been your father. Now go back and take your rightful place. Now, as the story goes, this brother begins to weep profusely in the theater because it was at that moment he was reminded that Jesus was on a recovery mission for his heart. Y'all, I really wish I could dive into all the meat and potatoes of this, but I don't have time. But I want us to move to my second and final point. Uncommon repentance. Going back to the passage in verse 6, it says, so he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, he is going to be the guest of one who is a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half my possessions I'll give to the poor, and if I defraud anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. You know what I love about this last part of the story is that Zacchaeus' uncommon approach to Jesus and Jesus' uncommon approach to grace had the crowd grumbling. You know the kind of grumbling they were doing. He's going to eat with that sinner. Like they have sin to be atoned for. He's going to eat with that prostitute. Like they didn't have something scandalous in their past. He's going to eat with that drug dealer like you ain't never kept one in business. He's going to eat with a gang member like you didn't happen to grow up with a little different circumstance. See, the crowd can very easily become comfortable Christians if we aren't careful. But isn't it beautiful that Jesus doesn't care anything about the crowd's grumbling, and neither should you? Because anyone listening or watching right now, I want to encourage you, don't let the crowd dissuade you from getting to the Jesus that welcomes you with open arms. Whether you're trying to see Jesus for the first time or you're trying to make your way back, the crowd ain't down a single hill for you. But Jesus did. In our world, we can't even appreciate the poetry and depth of this story because we don't value fellowship and communion with one another the way that they did in the Near East. But when Jesus said, I'm coming to your house, he was saying, I'm entering your world. I know you're greedy, but I also know you're broken. I know you're wealthy externally, but I know you're impoverished internally. I know you ain't got your friends, but I want to be your friend. And while the crowd was grumbling, Jesus was showing grace, an amazing grace. And that grace made all the difference. Titus 2 verse 11 and 12 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions in the present age, to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly. Zacchaeus decided to go above and beyond in his uncommon repentance because Jesus showed him uncommon grace. The Jewish law required that normal restitution was to add 20% if you defrauded people. So for every 100, Zacchaeus was really just supposed to give 120. But when Jesus came to his house, when Jesus showed him grace, he said, you know what? This is worth giving up more than I'm supposed to give. This is worth more than giving up what makes me comfortable. And that's a lesson for us, because our greatest fight in this 21st century when it comes to following Jesus is trusting that Jesus can come to our house and we will be filled, even if we give up the things closest to our hearts. Jesus didn't tell him to do that. He didn't force him to do that. But when he came face to face with the grace of God in the face of Jesus, he couldn't help but take inventory of his heart. That's what Angel preached about last week, and that's what we have to be reminded of. So this week, my challenge to you is to go beyond just thinking, to go beyond just taking inventory, and to actually give something up. Because that's the hard part. We can think all day, but what do we actually need to give up and then moving towards giving up? As I close, I want to draw your attention to something that you may or may not know. In Luke chapter 18, there's a story of a rich young man. And at the end of that story, that man goes away sad because he didn't want to take an uncommon approach that required uncommon repentance. And the disciples question Jesus, and Jesus reminds them, no one who's left anything will fail to receive so much more in this age and the age to come. Interestingly enough, we never actually learn the rich young ruler's name. But we know the name of this uncommon man, Zacchaeus. You know what his name means? Pure, innocent, and righteous. The man who came to Jesus impure, guilty, and unrighteous, unworthy of the name he had been given since birth. But he was able to be with Jesus, and because Jesus could embrace the full meaning of his name, Jesus called him righteous. If you're hearing me right now, I want you to take some time to reflect as we begin to prepare for communion. There may be a lot of names that Satan is trying to call you. Lustful, unworthy, incapable, defeated, greedy. But Jesus died on a cross almost 2,000 years ago so that the only name that matters is forgiven. If you don't know what it means to be in relationship with God through Jesus, I don't want you to go another day without reaching out. We want to connect with you. We want to sit down with you. We want to be able to sit down the way Jesus sat down with Zacchaeus and enter into your life so that we can show you the Jesus that changes everything. If you need to find your way back to Jesus, I want you to remember this. An uncommon approach leads to uncommon repentance. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you for the ways that you know our name. We thank you for the ways that when Jesus died on the cross, we were in the forefront of your mind. God, you knew all the things that we would dive into, trying to fill the void that only you can fill. You knew all the ways that we would feel defeated, the ways that we would stop before we even truly start. You knew. And so, God, I pray as we take the time to eat this cracker that represents Jesus' body and drink this juice that represents Jesus' blood, I pray that we can be reminded that because of that atoning sacrifice, we have an opportunity to be made new in you over and over again. God, we love you. And we pray all of this in your son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.